Eternal God, watch over them. Let them go in peace. The car, the bus, the plane, whatever means they are traveling, we cover them in the blood of Jesus. Let them come back safely, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Who has a nice voice to raise that song? Nobody? Good. Okay, now go. Abide with me, fast falls the evening time. In darkness deeper, Lord, with me abide. When all the heaven fell, comfort me, help of thy helpless one, abide with me. Sweet Lord, let our life lead the way. Choice grows deep, glories pass away. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Even when the eventide draws nigh, advent shadows, all these things pile up, our God is still good. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Eternal God, we come before you this morning to say thank you for all you are to us. A friend in hour of need, a shelter in the time of storm. You are our God, you are our Savior, and you will be our Lord even unto that. Father, we want to thank you this morning for being with us, for being here with us this morning, to bless your people, to hear us out and to answer prayers. Is there any heart that is bothering this morning, Lord? We ask for lifting up in the name of Jesus Christ. Is there any weakness? Is there anybody who is here or coming or might hear us in time to come? Father, and they call unto you and say, help, render help in the name of Jesus Christ. For you are our help and our shield. receive all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. The message this morning is the season of adversity. A season. Adverse. Contrary. A time when things are not going well. For the past a month or so, we in this church, for those of us who may or may not know, have seen some times of adversity. And there may be some who are questioning, or who in their mind is asking questions. How can these things be? I know we understand fully that in life there ought to be and there must be of necessity by God's design adversity. But the enemy at times trying to rephrase it for us and bring it across in a way that maybe if we are not careful, we start to question God's love, God's faithfulness. And we start to wonder, why should this be so and so on and forth? We are human beings and these things tend to come across our mind. But this morning I want to remind us that notwithstanding what we might face or what we might be facing or what's happened or happening, that God's love is unchanging. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And God's faithfulness abides forever. It does not waver or change. It's not a man like me and you. Hallelujah. So let's take quickly our text from Daniel chapter 7 verse 25. Daniel chapter 7 verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sense of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Out of this text, we are going to take just a phrase for our ministration this morning. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear through adversity, through trials. But before we even start, let us hear the conclusion of the matter on this issue. Go to verse 28 briefly. I will only take the first phrase there. Hither though is the end of the matter. Go to 27. And the end of the matter is that the kingdom and dominion, amen, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to who? To the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Amen? So putting it together is this, that the enemy, Satan, one duty, one plan, one strategy he has implemented since the beginning, against me, against you. That strategy is to wear us out, burn us out, bring us to a level whereby we say, what is the point? Bring us to a point where we can question the love of God even, or doubt it. Where we can say, hey, this is overwhelming. But here the end of the matter is, here the end of the matter is that at the end of the day, no matter what the enemy has done or continued to do, the saints shall possess the kingdom. Amen? Can somebody shout hallelujah? If God says to you, if somebody says to you, notwithstanding whatever is happening at this time, at this point, or whatever you are seeing, the end of the result, the end of it is that whatever, the thing you desire most, you will end up getting it. That should ought to make you to be joyful, to be thankful that God has concluded that the enemy will not win. His strategy will not prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will never win. The result is rigged against him. God has programmed it, has ordered it, and so shall it be, that me and you, by the grace and the mercy of God, shall possess the kingdom. And it is not just any type of kingdom, it is an everlasting kingdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You are not alone at times when you feel burned out due to adversity or trials. I don't know anybody here who might say that they have not. If you are, please let me know you and see what is your trick or whatever is happening. That you haven't having your own share of life trials, adversity. And may even be going through now some. Paul, the great apostle, a mighty man of God, he was so overwhelmed at a point that he said, henceforth, let no man do what? Trouble me. For I have the mark of Christ upon me. I have seen a lot. I've gone through a lot. I've borne a lot. This is a man, as I stated in one of the messages recently, whipped 39 times times 5. Thrown out of the wall to die. A whole city secured by military personnel to see him dead. Beaten often. Always in perils of one thing or the other. Abused inside and abused outside. Physically, mentally. But he still say at a point to show us that as long as myself and you are in this mortal body, there is a point you might be weary. I know that the book of Jeremiah say that, you know, them that trust in the Most High God, they shall run and not be faint, and they shall walk and not pass out, you not give up completely. But there is this tendency that at times that we might be weary, we might be tired. It is not uncommon. But the Lord God is your strength. Blessed be the name of the Lord. David, at a point in his life, also became so weary that he said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen? So he cut across the board. The enemy's strategy is to burn you out. The enemy's strategy is to weary you. The enemy's strategy from the beginning is to see the saints weary. And we are supposed, should be careful not to play into his hand. That's the message of this morning. To know that no matter what he has done or what he will do, that at the end of the day, the outcome is concluded, hitherto the saints shall possess the kingdom and have dominion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We are born to conquer. We are designed to win in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The enemy will not prevail. The enemy will not win out at the end of the day, because the saints of God will not break rank. He might buffet us. He might push us around. He might throw witches in our way, spanner in the clog out everything. But at the end of the day, you are to have dominion and you are to possess the kingdom. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now in your trials, many a times and that's where we're getting to some points here. I want you to pay attention. Based as a minister and on people talking with people, and even on about myself. People start to question when you are going through life trials, adversity. And they start to say things that can help to burn you out. Unfortunately, at times it comes from area that is close to your heart. It might be people that love you or people that you believe should understand you. But comments start to come out in this form, John chapter 9, verse 2. John chapter 9, verse 2, it starts to come out in this area. Oh, maybe he has done something wrong. Or maybe he has sinned. Or maybe he's, you know, things catch up with people who know what he might have done and so on and so forth. It is also not uncommon for people to see you go through things. At a point, they may even come to you like the friends of Job, who love him, care for him, say to him, why do you still think you are self-righteous and you are going through all this stuff? Can't you humble yourself and admit your offense that you might have said, that you might have committed atrocity, that you might have done this and that? Because of all he's going through, something has to be wrong. How can this kind of level of tragedy happen to you and you think it is because you are a righteous man? Something has to be wrong. Many of us have faced such insinuation. But here it is here, and his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? There have to be something for somebody. What kind of thing is this? He was born blind from the womb. It must be the mother have done something. It may be that the father have done something. It may be that both of them have done something. It may be that this man, and I don't know how they thought about it, how did he do anything even when he was in the womb? They didn't even think that far. He was in the womb. What sin can you attribute to him? Or is God judging him on the sin to come? It doesn't stop human beings from reasoning in this way. Why is his life so messed up? Why is his family not together? Why is the financial system so bad? Why is things falling apart around him or her? Why is this? Why is that? And why is that? And the news and the rumor can even get to you, and your heart will sink if you are not careful. Or you might become bitter if you are not careful. Or you might throw in the towel, which is what the enemy wants. The strategy is to weary you. The strategy is to make you to come to a point where you can throw in the towel and maybe sin, and maybe say things you shouldn't say, and maybe turn around against him that loves you most, which is Christ Jesus. What has this man done? What did the mother do? Go to verse 3, 9-3, please, quickly. Jesus answered and said, what? Neither. Neither of them had this man sinned, nor has his parents, but that what may happen? That the works of God should be made manifest in you, in me, in us, in the midst of our travels, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our situation. I have seen people who serve God diligently. I have seen people who, if you look at their life, there is nothing. And then it seems like trial and overwhelming circumstances always against them. And before you know it, interpretation, visions, prophecies, and whatever, people that are not anointed by God for any reason, start to have gainsay. Not knowing that there is a purpose of God in whatever happens in our life. It doesn't matter who you are. That our morning of darkness will not define our evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That our evening will turn to light because God's grace is always abounding. That today, our situation today, our circumstances today, the abnormality of it today is not always going to be there, because at a point, the grace and the light of God will break through. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The important thing is for you to learn not to give up. But that is where the enemy comes in. Let us read Hebrews chapter 12, quickly please. Verse 6. We can even say, maybe God doesn't love us again. As some will say, he has fallen out of relationship with God. But it says here that God's love is not in any way defined by your adversity. It's unchangeable. It's still there. For whom the Lord loveth, does he do what chasteneth? That means allows adversity to come your way. And even scourge every son whom he receiveth. Now we may not fully understand it. Just like you may not fully understand, how can this thing be to the glory of God? Like this blind man that was born blind, but the purpose of God was that the plan of God, intention of God, might be made manifest in his life. We may not fully understand some of them. Go to verse 11, please. 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. There is no adversity that is meant to be a reason to be joyous. It is meant for pain. It is meant to scourge. It is meant to purify. And every process of purification, whether it be for diamond or silver or gold, is usually by pain, by suffering, by sifting, by beating, by whatever means to bring out the purity that is desired. But grievous, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, he yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised therewith. We are coming to that. That the adversity you are facing, and that is where at times I fear God. And that is at times I fear God's intent in such a way that God have an objective. God have a target. God have a design. And that design is to get you where he wants to get you to. And whatever it will take, you are like a bow in his hand, a bow and an arrow. And see the archer, he put an arrow on the bow, and the string is being pushed back. The string is being pushed back, and you are the string, and it is pulling you, and you say, stop so far, sir. It is getting on my, it's too far, it's too hard. And God keep pulling and pulling, and he's holding for the target to come on sight. Until that target comes on sight, then he will release you the bow, and you hit the target in Jesus' name. But the process of getting you to hit the target is that he has to pull the string to the maximum, to the level. But he did say that in his wisdom, he will not allow temptation that is above you to be presented or come upon you. He will always put a limit for Satan or for whoever or for whatever source is throwing it. At a point, God say, I know what my son can put up with. So if the trial and adversity intensifies, it shows that your promotion is even greater. If the trial and adversity goes from level 1 to 2, so also is your promotion, because God has seen that you are able to bear and overcome. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to stay with the Lord. Go to verse 12 of the same Hebrews 6. Wherefore, he says, in this time of adversity, lift up the hands which hang down, and also the feeble knees. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Adversity is never a fun subject. Maybe if it is financial prosperity or some other things, he wakes us up. But know that we are supposed to face this. You cannot avoid it. So when you hear this news or that news or this thing happening or that thing happening, let not your heart be overwhelmingly troubled. Know that God knows what he is doing. Amen? Amen? Humility and things are one of the advantages and things we see when we have adversity.
When the going is good,
everybody feels happy. You feel just chippy. Things are great. You are such living on high level. You say, praise the Lord. You are dancing. You are testifying. You are saying everything. Just, wow, life is good. In fact, there's a TV there. I said, what is LG? They say, life is good. That's the meaning. So you feel life is good. You feel everything is good. But suddenly God says, you need to move to the next level. I need to promote my daughter to the next level. And promoting you to next level takes adversity. And that adversity is something that he says, it is grievous, it is painful, but that is the way to the next level. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Also, we may come to find out that adversity also endue in us certain quality we may lack. Because at times I see people when things are going, prayers are being answered, God is just blessing them, they become pompous. They become full of themselves. You say when you see people who have it all or seems to have it all, they feel like every day is just a happy, wonderful day. And for other people, it doesn't matter. So at times we become in ourselves, lack of humility start to show up. And then God may have to cut the person down to size a little to bring them out of destruction. Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar was cut down for that purpose. But he didn't realize it until towards the end of it when he found out that he needs to humble himself. And he said, now I see the purpose of God in this. He that has dominion over everything has reduced me to this level so that I may come out of it. He said, and everything was restored to me as it was in the beginning and even better. So humility is one of the things that comes out of adversity. Your pride is washed out. Prayers have been answered so many times that your bank, your house, your storage is full of answered prayers. And then some important thing happens and you went to the same source. And you went to the same God. And you did what you used to do before. But this time there's no answer. Things are going from bad to worse. Things are not turning away the way you want it. And the enemy is now whispering. And people are now saying things that is contrary. And say, hey, something must have happened. Look at him. He was here before. And now he's here now. And look at how things are going on. God might be working something out for you. For a greater promotion. He might take out that part of haughtiness, pride. It may be bringing you to humility where you know that you are not really playing baseball with God like you think. You are not on the same level with him. It may be that God is preparing you to use your life as a comfort to others. You say, what does that have to do with me? That is the plan and purpose of God. Go question him if you like. But if God wants to use you to bless others and want you to pass through this situation first, who am I to question that? There's a time in my life people come to me for things, and each time I find out that I have something personal that has happened to me as an individual that I can use to give them and it's an example that God can bring you out of this situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so shall it be with you also. So now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation? Listen to this. That we may be able to do what? Comfort them which are in any trouble. In other words, the reason that God comfort you, allow you to go through adversity, pull you out of that miry clay. And set your feet upon the rock and put a new song in your mouth, is that you may turn around and use your testimony, use your life as an evidence of God's mercy and goodness to comfort others who may be in trouble. Can you imagine a minister that is having problem in his ministry and have even done things against God and disobeyed the voice of God. And he ran into Jonah
on the corner of the street and start telling Jonah, hey, I have done this, so I have made mistake. Jonah will just say to him, sit down, bro. Let me tell you my own story. How I disobeyed God, how I was swallowed by a big fish, how I was dumped inside the belly of the fish for 3 days. That life testimony of Jonah's nightmare can now be a comfort, can be a reason to pull this other minister out of life trouble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine somebody who did not want to be a king, never desired to be anything, was just doing his own thing and God called him? And you felt, oh my God, God called me and put in this wonderful position. And then suddenly things went from bad to worse to the point that your life is in danger. And then you ran into David. And you said to brother David, hi David, whoa, this is what I'm going through. And so on and so forth. And David said, that is exactly or something that like to happen to me. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how, out of all this design, the adversity and trouble, God made me a king. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine somebody who did not do anything, who did not commit evil, who did not sin, who did not in any way sin, but they found themselves in prison, they find themselves being tortured because somebody has accused them falsely, and all the brethren, all the friends have looked at them and said, you must have done something wrong, but they didn't. And he ran into Joseph, and Joseph said to him, wow, I faced the same thing, but look at it, at the end of the day, God made me a prime minister of the whole Egypt, the greatest country of the whole world. So he says here that you may comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith ourselves we are comforted of God in the midst of your adversity. We can go on and on. David got a crown. Joseph got a great promotion. Jonah was restored. He gained an experience and went on with his ministry. Paul the apostle, his adversity was so much that he said to all, from henceforth, let no person trouble me. I'm tired. I'm fed up. But look at the end of the day. He said that crown of glory, that crown of life that Christ had promised them that trust in him, I have won it. He testified even before he got there that he has run the race, has finished the race, and now I wait a beautiful crown that is waiting for me. That is the end of the result. Whereby I'm telling you guys that Christ said it and said it, the word of God said it in Daniel 7:25. That notwithstanding the adversity, the strategy of the enemy, the end result is that the saints shall possess the kingdom and have dominion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Your adversity should not define you. Your strength shall not fail you, should not fail you in the days of adversity. You are not supposed to listen to naysayers in the days of adversity. Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10, quickly. It says here, if you faint in the day of adversity, what happens? Your strength is what? Poquito, small. Because there's a reason for the adversity. The whole purpose is not to degrade you. The whole purpose is not to destroy you. The whole purpose is not to humiliate you like I think at times. Is God humiliating me? Why is he doing this? Why is he rubbing my face on the ground? Lord, why are you doing this? I can tell you so many stories where my face is rubbed on the floor. And the mud covers my face, and I'm ashamed and stuff. And I thought that, wow. But out of it, he washed me again and put perfume on me, and I smell like a rose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the Lord lifted me out of that miry clay. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If you run with the footman, he says, and you are weary, Then how can you contend with horses? If in the land of peace, which you trust, you are wearied, how then will you do? Or what will you do in the swelling of Jordan? You see, there are levels of adversity in life. And sincerely speaking, I've seen that God goes on incremental level. As you grow and mature in the Lord, the higher you are esteemed and you have worked hard to get to that point through God's grace, it seems that things even get tougher at times. It is saying here that if when things are peaceful, things are normal, things are, you are already tired, what will you do when things are out of whack? Americans does have a way of saying things nicely. He said that shit has hit the fan. In other words, it's scattered all over. You look to the left, trouble. You look to the right, trouble. Up, trouble. Down, trouble. And you say like David, where shall I run to? Where is my salvation? Where is my help coming from? Brethren, at that point, he said, my help cometh from who? From the Lord God Almighty. Amen? You are not to be weary in this situation. You are to trust God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 1, 3. Know for sure that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I don't know how many of us have reached the level of Job here. In a single day or within a short time, three-dimensional troubles, financially, health, emotional. The enemy wants to suffocate him. It doesn't help that people that are close to him, who love him, who want the best for him, doesn't understand. His friends came, his family were there, and so on and so forth. But God has said here, there is no temptation, there is no adversity that is not common to, that will overtake you, that is not common to man. In other words, you have two legs, you have two legs. Two eyes, and so on and so forth. But God is faithful, he tells you, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. It is he who have the football that is a target. When you are in this situation, you have the football like in NFL. Everybody, everything is coming after you. Hold on to that ball. Don't give it up. Continue running. There's always a defense, unseen defense, angels of defense who are monitoring your blood pressure in that level, who are monitoring how much you can put up before you blow up, and they know it's a timeout, Lord, time to release the bow. But while you are still in that situation and you are running an elbow, God is pushing you on to greater level. So will be your greater testimony. Now, when the enemy has tried you in certain things and you overcome, another day he won't come in that level. If he come in that level, it's like, I've been there. I've seen it. That's nothing. So move up to higher level. But each time you overcome, you have a star. You have a crown. You have a victory. You have a word of testimony. You have a word to comfort others who may be going through the same. So he said, also will he make a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your adversity, no matter how big you think it is, because we usually see it as a mountain. My God, have I seen some of them? And when God cleaned it out and washed it and did it, it looks like, where was it before? Why did I think this is so big and so hard? Because the Lord has done it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, to be able to stand as we are running to close, adversity, you have to be able to put on all the whole armor of God. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 18, which we are not going to read, He said, put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11. Just put the verse 1. In other words, when you are going through adversity, it's not time for you to give up in prayer. It's not time for you to give up in waiting on the Lord, in fasting, in praising God, in reading the word of God. It's not time for you to say, there's nothing to do. Mind you, God always does something, but you have to justify what God is doing. For faith without work is what? Dead. You have to put in your own, stay with the Lord, stay with the people of the Lord. Don't lock up yourself in your room and go into depression, false depression or real one. Don't say that, hey, I don't want to hear or see anybody. This is time for you to welcome good people that can encourage you in your hour of trials. This is time for you to seek God's face, knowing that this adversity is but for a moment. And no matter which path it will take, God will be glorified at the end of the day. The end result may not be appealing to you in some cases, but when we get to heaven, we will find out why God allowed that to be. The people around you or Satan and this thing that seems to worry you may laugh and say, here is where you are. Here is what you are going through. Oh, that you have served the Lord for all these 10 years of your life, all these 20 years of your life, all these 30 years of your life, 50 years, 60 or 70 or 80. And here is where you are today. Is it how God answers them that fear him? Is it the result of obedience or serving the Lord? The enemy will project all these negative thoughts, either through people or through yourself. Even when you sleep, he will come in different way. Always rise up to the occasion and say, I know that Jesus loves me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And notwithstanding what I'm going through at this moment, the end result is determined. The end result is fixed. I shall still see the salvation of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's situation was so dire, but towards the end, God came in. I say that Job was restored 200% of all he lost. Not only that, he has gained experience that have been a help to millions and millions of people over the ages. In his adversity, he is able to stand it. He didn't rein in. He didn't break the rank. He stood firm. And so his testimony abounds to God's glory, even though the situation was grievous. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. As we round up, let's look at Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. Hallelujah. Amen. The book of Psalm, chapter 27, verse 5. Is somebody there? Yeah, thank you. Know that in the time of the trouble, he will do what? He will hide me in his pavilion. I know what pavilion is, but I looked it up. Many pavilion is like a tent, a shade for the king to sit on in the outside and stuff. But many a time there is a hole. It's vacuum space underneath it. He said he will hide you there and sit on top of it so that nobody will even come and mess with you. And that's what he's doing. But you might still be going through the situation, but you are hidden under that pavilion, under the shadow of Most High God. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9. 2 Corinthians 4. Good. We are troubled on every side. That is north, south, east, and west, and whatever other thing that is out there. But we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Wow. That wonderful writer Paul put it together well. Many a times it seems like because we are troubled, that maybe we are forsaken. Believe me, you are not forsaken. Everything God does is for a purpose. Every design of God is for a reason. I am also saying what I have seen and others have seen and have learned from others. Your trials, your adversity, no matter how big and ugly and nasty it looks like, it is for a purpose. The only problem is, what are you going to do with it to bring out the outcome? We gave the testimony of Jonah, of Joseph, of David, of Paul, and many others across the scriptures. If they have given up, if they have listened to the negative voices, if they have yielded, if Job has given up and cursed God and died, will there be testimony today? Will we be mentioning it in this way to encourage others? A lot depends on how you as an individual decide to act in the face of adversity. I'm telling you that at the end of the day, he said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. It is a higher rock, a higher dimension that God will take you. And God will be there to shield you. So please, brethren, no matter what is going on today or what you are hearing, let us not question God's faithfulness. As we stand on our feet, everybody, and thank God for his mercies, let us not doubt the mercies of God. He said, the joy of the Lord shall remain your strength. In your individual life, on the life of those around you, you might be seeing things that is not the way you want it to be, or even among the body of Christ. Because when one member is affected, every part of the body hurts. And many of us are hurting at this point. But let us remember that God's faithfulness endureth forever. They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Eternal God, we thank you. If you are listening to me this morning, or you might listen later on this message, and you are at a point like many, virtually a gun is on the table, and you are wondering, should I pull the trigger? Don't pull it. Wait for the morning to break. Weeping may endure for a night, but it does say that joy shall come in the morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe this is the hour that you are weeping, and you don't seem to see that there is any way out of this pit, out of this horrible pit, out of this miry clay. But know that God has said that he has lifted me out of it, and he will lift you in Jesus' mighty name, out of that horrible pit. And he will set you upon the rock and establish your going, and put a new song in your mouth, even the song of praise in Jesus' mighty name. So do not yield up. You are not forsaken. Others are moving higher. You seem to be moving lower. Others are doing better. Oh, their children and stuff, my own is not. Others are just getting it all. They seem to have it all. Where is mine? And so on and so forth. Hold on, brethren. Do not give up. Do not yield. Your time is coming. Your morning is coming in Jesus' mighty name. As long as you hold on to the Lord. In Jesus' name, we have spoken. Let everybody that hears say, amen. Amen. If you are watching and you don't have Jesus Christ, please consider receiving him into your life so that he can step in into your situation also, like he did with me and many others here. Thank you and God bless. Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord, for your word. when you are troubled on every side. At times our vision is limited. Even our thought and understanding is shortened. We may not fully see or understand what you are doing. As such, our Lord, show forth your mercy and your compassion. Hide us under your pavilion in Jesus' name, so that we do not yield, because at the end of the day, light will break out. The dawn will be good. The outcome assured. I pray for everybody here or who is listening, who are going through trials at this point, adversary situation, a time of adversity, contrary wind. Let this wind not drive us out, but drive us deeper, deeper, deeper roots, that we might become a giant tree, firm, standing firm on the word of God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. I pray for